Give it up for the worship team. I commend you guys. I've led worship before, and it's not easy. You know, you make the wrong chords, or you do something, or there's some sound equipment problem, or there's some worship, the slide problem. And I don't know about you guys, but sometimes I get distracted by those things. And it reminds me of a story of this group called Alpha Omega. And they were having this conference, worship conference, for like tens of thousands of people. And in the middle of their worship set, the power goes out. Like tens of thousands of people in the dark. But what happens? There's this one guy, takes his guitar, and starts playing as loud as he can, and sings. And it starts to grow. And the Spirit of God just came upon that place and it started a revival. And by the end, he only had two strings left, but he's just playing his heart out. And that's what reminds me when I struggle with when things go wrong during worship, I have to fix my eyes on Jesus, close my eyes and focus on him, that it's about his Spirit. Anyway, I did not plan that, but just wanted to share that with you. Because I get distracted. So just curious, how many of you guys have graduated out of Quest? Just to see how many of you guys are here still. Awesome. Great to see you. I was thinking of a verse in 3 John. It says, there's no greater joy than to see my children walking in the truth. And John's not talking about his physical children. He's talking about his spiritual children. And many of you guys are the spiritual children that I've invested in and poured into for the last 8 years. So it's great to see you guys here. Great to see you guys here. Is there a little echo? Is there a little kind of, no? You're good? All right. Maybe it's just me. I have to put on these, like, you guys ever heard of these loop things where you have to stick them in because my hearing's going bad and I have to, like, make sure that I'm protected for the rest of my life because I don't want to go deaf. So let me do a little review here. Last week we talked about what? Walk in the light. Right? Walk in the light. Today we're going to talk about, I should have a little clicker. No? You got me back there? All right. Walking in the light. Review. So walking in obedience is topic for today. Walking in obedience. And when you hear that word, you start to think obedience. Oh no. You got rules. How many of you guys have house rules at home? Technology rules, music rules, all those kind of things. Yeah. And so when I was growing up, I was a very rebellious teenager, believe it or not. And what I would do is, I communicated to my parents. I don't know, I was so foolish. I wrote this huge banner, like this wide and like probably like 8 feet across. I put it up on my wall. It said, independence! Like I was telling my parents that I am my own. I am independent. How many of you guys want to do that? How many of you guys ever have wanted to do that? Man, you guys are so good. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you. So I was very independent. I did not want to obey. I lived a life of disobedience and rejected my parents and walked away. I didn't have, like, what I didn't grow up in the church. And so I didn't have loving environment and community where they would help me. So when you hear the word obedience, it could come out to be as bondage, right? Or freedom. When you hear obedience, you can interpret it as bondage or freedom. Because it really depends on your relationship with the person that's asking you to obey. Because if you're in a relationship with a person and you don't trust this person to look out for your best interests, then you're going to think of it as bondage, as something you're restricted to, of my freedoms. But if you know that the person that is asking you to do something is someone you love in a relationship, and you trust that they have your best interests in mind, then it becomes freedom. For those of you that grew up in Quest, you know my Thomas the Train analogy. How many of you guys remember Thomas the Train? Yes? All right, so how many of you guys have heard of Thomas the Train? Okay, awesome. So you got Thomas, and you got a train, one of the green trains. I think his name was Edward. And he'd be on the tracks, and he didn't want to go on the tracks. He didn't want to do what the conductor told him to do. And so he said, well, I'm going to just take myself out because I'm free to do whatever I want. And so you see the scene. He's off the tracks. He's in the grass, maybe. He's walled up in the tunnel. And he's looking at all these other trains going by, going to this part of the island or that part of the island. And he's thinking to myself, I'm free, cooped up in this tunnel, but I'm free. Was he really free? Obviously not. Now, the other trains that were on the track, what were they doing? They were going to places where they were meant to be. But they were held back to the tracks. And so my exhortation, encouragement to you is, how do you see the tracks? Do you see them as giving you the freedom to do all that God has designed and created you to do in relationship with Him? Or do you see them as things to avoid because it makes you feel like I'm restricted? In a loving relationship, love equals obey. Love equals obey. So, right? L-O-V-E equals O-B-E-Y, according to the Bible. Okay? Everybody do that with me. L-O-V-E equals O-B-E-Y. That's what it says in the Bible. Do you believe me? Maybe you're a little bit like, I don't know, Mr. Tony. We'll get to a passage in a few. I'm going to just go right now. I'm going to skip a little bit. So as you get older, you need to put on these glasses here. You know, this is in John chapter 14. And you know, just Jesus speaking to his disciples. And he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, in verse 15, chapter 14. And I will ask the Father, and I will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I'm going to skip to verse 21. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, obeys them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest or reveal myself to him. A few verses later, Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep or obey or do my word. My Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. In verse 24, whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. So if Jesus repeats himself three times, and then anti repeats himself with, if you don't keep my commands, he's telling you something. Love equals obedience. In a right relationship with God.
All right. So,
that's not what I have on my paper. Hold on. All right, so the passage, I don't know what happened to my slides. This is part of like speaking. Sometimes the slides don't connect, and sometimes you don't know what happens, but that's okay, because we're going to turn to the passage in 1 John. In 1 John. That's the key verse, 1 John chapter 5, verse 2 to 3. 1 John chapter 5, verse 2 to 3. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. There's a couple things I want to point out in this passage. When it says, by this we know, what does the word know mean? By this we know. We understand. Kind of like figure it out. Okay, so you guys are in high school now. I wouldn't have talked about this when you were in Quest. But you're in high school now, so I can talk to you about this word, know. Maybe you've heard this before, but maybe not. But that's the word that the Bible uses when we're talking about knowing in a relationship, an intimate, close relationship, not just knowing about. Like, I can know Donald Trump, or I can know the president of whatever, but do I know him personally in a relationship where I talk to him? There's a difference. And so when the Bible's talking about know, it's talking about the personal, engaging relationship. Now, back up in Genesis. Now, this might shock some of you, but the Bible talks about Adam and Eve. Have you guys heard this before? Okay? The word that they use here is Adam knew Eve, and then they had a baby. So the word know in Genesis for Adam and Eve was physically knowing each other, and that's the intimate relational understanding of know. This might be shocking to some of you, but when Jesus talks to his disciples, when Jesus is confronting a group of people that come to him, say, Lord, Lord, in Matthew chapter 7, I've done miracles in your name. I've done all these things. And this is the shocking thing that he says, I never knew you. And he's not saying he doesn't know about him, because Jesus knows everything, but he was never in a relationship with this person. That was saying, Lord. And seven chapters later, from Matthew chapter 7, right? And then we read John chapter 14, right? When he says, if whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. That's a relational love. So how do we do this? How do we do this? How do we love and keep God's commandments? I've been thinking about this and praying about this week, and the thing that really like came to mind for you guys is asking the Lord to give you an even if kind of faith, not a what if kind of faith. So the what if kind of faith is a faith that's rooted in fear. Like, what if this happens? What if that happens? What if I don't get acknowledge? What if I don't get validated? What if I don't get approved? What if I... Whereas an even if faith, like the song we just sang, in the fire, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel chapter 3, they knew that God could deliver them. But they said, but even if he does not, I'm going to trust and obey. And what does that look like for you guys? In your home, in your school, in the church. Because you guys face a lot of temptation to forget that the God of the universe lives inside of you if you have trusted Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it says, don't you know that you yourselves are temple of the Spirit of God that is dwelling in you? And that's part of the how question. How in the world am I going to keep these commandments and not make them a burden? For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Are not burdensome. It's changing your paradigm of looking at rules and obedience with your parents, at school, at church, wherever it is. Because you see, we live in a culture where we are very, very self-centered and self-absorbed. It's all about me. And Jesus says, if you want to be my follower, what you need to start doing and living out is saying, it's not about me. And the Bible talks about that as dying to yourself. Letting go of your preferences. Letting go of your opinions of what you think is right and wrong. When you have a conversation with your parents, when they have a different value, or what they think is appropriate for you in the home, you have a choice. You have a choice to fight against that and say, I think I know better. I don't want my parents to infringe upon my freedoms. Or you can choose to say, I'm gonna trust God is in control. He gave each of you, think about this, customized parents with their weaknesses and strengths to make you and conform you into the image of Jesus Christ, which is God's will for you. He's customized that annoying little younger brother or sister in your life to test your patience, to test your even if faith, whether you will believe that God has given you, ordained for you these people in your life, to give you an opportunity to die and follow Jesus and not follow yourself. Follow through with your own desires, plans, opinions. Some of you have different values than your parents. And this is where you guys know what the rubber meets the road means? How many of you guys know what that means? Okay, some of you guys, okay. It's when your faith becomes real. And this is the test of whether you really believe God or not. Are you willing to obey your parents even when you disagree? Because ultimately, what you're doing is you're obeying God, because God is the one who has instituted your parents in your life, for this season of your life. So it's ultimately a question of, do I really believe God? Do I really believe his word? Let me read 1 John chapter 2, a couple chapters before, in verse 3. And And by this we know, again, same word know, that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word in him, truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. One of the hardest things to do for me is to live out my Christian life with my family. I struggled big time with my parents. I struggled big time in the beginning of our marriage, what it means to die to myself and my preferences. I struggle with my kids until something happened that made me, boom, like, this cannot continue. So I don't know what it is for you guys. Let's go to that last slide, reflection questions. These are questions that I just thought maybe this might help you to think through, like, what does it mean to obey God in your home, in your schools, sports teams, or whatever it is? What does it mean? How are you going to let your faith become an even if kind of faith? Not what if this happens? What if that happens and I lose my friends? Or do you say, you know what? Even if things don't go well, I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm going to give you a minute just in silence for you introverted people to think and process. I know extroverted people, I want you to think about what you're actually going to say before you say it. Because I'm an extrovert, I tend to blurt out things as I come. I want you guys to take a minute, think about it before you say it. Introverts, take some time. Take 1 minute and do that. God, I pray that your spirit would speak and that you would help every single person here to hear from you and what you desire for us, what you want us to obey, and how you want us to obey. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, give you guys about 20 minutes to talk and come back in a few minutes. How many of you guys came up with, personally for yourself, like one thing that you felt the Lord was telling you, I need to surrender this to the Lord and obey? How many of you guys, one thing? Okay. Praise God. I'm going to just leave off with an encouragement. I've mentioned this in the past, earlier today, that how does the commandments of God in his word become non-burdensome is remembering that it's not on you, ultimately. Because God says in his word in Philippians 1:6, and this is what I hold on to for myself, because I still have a lot of growing to do. Philippians 1:6 says, he will continue the work that he has started in you and will finish it on the day of Christ's return. So it's implied that the Spirit of God, the creator of the universe, his Spirit resides in you. The Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you to help you to overcome and to obey as you walk and yield to the Spirit of God. But you know what hinders that? What's the greatest hindrance in that? What do you think? Sin? Yes. But for me, part of that sin is forgetfulness. And what I started doing last year sometime, I started setting an alarm on my phone 4 times a day, every day. And just one word, Jesus. 10 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 8 o'clock. To remind me of who God is, who I am, and what's my purpose? Is to love him, be in a relationship with him? And I don't know, I can't assume that all of you guys are believers. Okay, if you're not, that power that raised Jesus from the dead doesn't come to you automatically unless you choose to receive that. Not just believe it, but to know it in a relationship with him. That way, the guilt, shame, whatever that you've got in your life is wiped away because of the blood of Jesus, that you've said, yes, I want to be forgiven. And I want to be reconciled back to God because of the blood of Jesus Christ, what he did on the cross. And that is the gospel message. Could you throw that one slide on there, guys, about the gospel? The white slide. So this is the gospel. You can take a picture of it if you want. This is the gospel definition that's helped me over the years to really deepen my walk with God. Let's read it together. Ready? The gospel is the best news we could ever hear. The gospel is about Jesus Christ and his power to transform our lives and relationships, communities, and ultimately the nations. Through this gospel, we are freely given a new identity. An identity not based on race, social class, gender, a theological system, or a system of rules and regulations. Rather, it is a new and perfect identity based solely on faith in Jesus, an identity that defines every aspect of our lives. We are now forgiven, righteous, adopted, accepted, approved, free, and heirs to everything that belongs to Christ. So even our sin, weakness, our past, and failures do not define who we are. Because of this good news, we no longer have to hide from our sin and pretend that we have it all together, for God knows and loves us as we are, not as we pretend to be. Amen? That is the good news that God has for you. This is the good news that God wants for every single one of you to be secure, to be found, approved, and loved by God because of Christ in you. That is good news. That is my hope for you. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for this great news that you have given to us. And I pray, Father, for those that do not know you, that they would surrender and trust and follow you. Maybe today, for the first time. I pray that your Spirit would stir hearts to want to follow you and obey you because they love you. I pray that you would bless them. Fill them with your joy and peace in the midst of a world that is chaotic. We need you. Apart from you, we can do nothing. So we pray that you would help us, Lord. We depend upon you. We are desperate for you. Lead us. In Jesus' name, amen.